I have this lunchbox here. Anybody take a lunchbox to work at all still? Oh, wow, that's pretty good. Okay, a lot of hands went up. So y'all know sometimes I put creative things in boxes or bins when you come here, like what's going to be in that? So today I have a lunchbox. Any guesses what's in here? Any guesses?
Lunch.
Lunch. Anybody, what's that?
Sandwich.
Not quite. Anybody guess what the object is in here?
If I guess it, can I get it?
If you have, you guess it, you can have it and eat it.
It's something. A Bible?
What is that?
A Bible?
No, maybe you can put it on a Bible.
Orange.
Ready? A bottle of sriracha! Okay, I know there's people who love sriracha.
It's like Jimmy's lunch,
though. Yeah, so
if you want, we can... Was it a bottle of sriracha?
And we can pass this around. If you want some sriracha, it's pretty good. And you're like, what does it have to do with the Bible and what we're going to do? But you'll hopefully find out. I'm going to set it right here, a little example. And if you're, you know, want a little bit of spice in your life, you can come by and grab some of that. So I want to invite you to open up your scriptures to Luke chapter 22. So Luke chapter 22. If you're not sure where that's at, you can look at the front of your Bible and the table of contents, and it'll show you where that's going to start. And Luke is in the New Testament, so that's Jesus and afterwards. The Old Testament is before Jesus was born on the earth. So Luke chapter 22, verses 31 through 34. So Luke 22, verses 31 through 34. And what we're going to have you do, you can either do this solo or you can partner up with someone next to you. But go ahead and read the scriptures in that section there, Luke 22, 31 through 34. And then after you read it, summarize it to yourself or to the person that you're with in your own words, from memory, so you can kind of start grasping it more. So go ahead and read it together, or you can read it yourself and summarize it. And after you've read it one time, either summarize it with someone in your group or to yourself, read it again together or to yourself and ask the question, what am I learning about Jesus or his plan? In this reading, what am I learning about Jesus or his plan? And after you read it a second time, read it a third time and ask, what am I learning about people in this section? What am I learning about people? And then share with the person next to you or with yourself, say, how does this apply to my life? What is my takeaway? What would I do with this scripture after today? So this is a pretty intense scripture. I mean, as you read about this, you're like, oh man, I hope that's not me. Because your life can get, I know here, like over here, like torn apart. And that's exactly what's going on here. And a central theme in here is prayer. So we're building off the 10 conditions that God has set out for Enriched Church. And one of them is to build a culture of prayer individually for ourselves. So it's like deepening our relationship with Jesus and then building a culture of prayer here at Enriched Church. So let's take a look at verse 31, then we'll work our way through this together. So it says, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. Man, when someone says your name twice, they're getting your attention. They're like, hey, listen up, because I got something important to tell you. Especially for those who got kids, right? Sometimes they say their name twice to get their attention, right? So Jesus is trying to get his attention. Now, how many of y'all have ever sifted wheat? Anyone know what that even means? Like, what is sifting wheat? All right, so back in the day, this is what they would do. They'd cut off the wheat at the bottom, and they'd take these stalks of wheat, and then they would smash them on the ground. They would smash the wheat, and the wheat kernels would break off of the top part of the stalk. Or what they'd do is they'd throw them in the air, and then they would crash to the ground, and they would start breaking off, and the chaff would separate from the wheat. So the chaff is pretty much like the useless part that you wouldn't eat. You would just get rid of that. Kind of like when you rake your leaves on the ground and you throw them away. Yeah, if you need to squish in because it's starting to sprinkle a bit more, feel free to squish in. And there's a good spot here in the center if you want to take up the center spot right here. I don't spit when I speak too much, so you should be good. So it's a pretty violent process when you're separating the chaff from the wheat. And what they would do then is they would take the kernels of the wheat and they would begin to grind them. So they take them these big grinding stones, and then they would put this big stone and crush all of it. And what it would do is it would open the shell, and you would get the kernel out. So it's a pretty violent process for this kernel to be separated from the wheat and from the chaff. And this is exactly what Jesus is saying is going to happen to Peter. And you know who's going to do the sifting? Satan. How many of y'all would want Satan to be your sifter? Anybody, any hands? No hands and a lot of shaking of heads, right? Because Satan is basically being assigned to destroy some people here. And so what's the purpose of all this? We have to understand God's intention and use of Satan for his purposes. How many of y'all like Satan? No, right? Any of my family, my kids, they all know Satan's a bad guy. He doesn't do anything good, and he comes against us to destroy our lives. So they know Satan's a bad dude. And so you have to think about, why would God, Jesus, give permission to Satan to do this? Because if you think Jesus is that cuddly teddy bear who just wants to give loves and hugs and kisses to everyone, you might think, like, this is not the nice Jesus that I have pictured in my mind, but we gotta go to the Jesus of the Bible. So why would God want to use Satan? So picture the chaff in your life. What are the things in your life that distract you from Jesus, that keep you from following him, that keep you from being committed to him, that keep you from being obedient to him? Jesus wants to remove the chaff. And sometimes us, as we just want to keep growing and we want to just be safe and comfortable. But then Jesus, when he wants to harvest, he wants to come and he needs to slam that wheat on the ground to separate it. And here's the thing. God loves you, and he always works everything for your good if you love him and you're called according to his purposes. So you have to believe what Jesus says is true, that he's going to use this for your good. So he wants to use Satan for his purposes to actually produce growth in your life and draw you closer to Jesus and remove the things from your life that are actually keeping you from a deeper relationship with God. Can anybody think of another time when someone got sifted by Satan in the Bible? A pretty significant one?
Judas,
we'll get there. Job, that's right.
Oh.
When I became a new Christian, I saw the book of Job in the Bible, and I was like, I don't need a job. Like, I was a new believer, so I didn't like know anything. But Job, yeah, he was one where Satan came in to the council of God and said, hey, your guy Job will be here. He's living a perfect life because you protect him. And God said, okay, go do your work, Satan. And you know what the whole process of that was? It was to humble Job, and that Job would worship God, and that God could prove that people will still follow God, still believe in Jesus, even after their life is wrecked. And you know what's great at the end of Job's story? Is God restored everything back to Job with even more. So when you're sifted, God actually has great purposes to bring more of his life and his prosperity and his thriving into your life. So this is really important. Satan makes requests against your life. We see that in Job. We see that here. So Satan will make a request against your life. Who determines if that request is granted?
God.
Jesus determines it. So you have to understand this. Is Satan does not determine your life. Jesus determines your life. Because Jesus is your gatekeeper if you belong to him. And he can say, Satan, nope, not today, Satan, right? So you're not being let in. But there will be a time in your life at various points when Satan will make a request and Jesus will say this, the door is open to you. Go and do what you must do to separate the wheat from the chaff. So Jesus is in control of your life. Satan makes requests and God may grant them for his purposes for your life to grow you closer to him. So check out verse 32. This is Jesus speaking. But I have pleaded in prayer for you, Simon, that your faith should not fail. So when you've repented and turned to me again, strengthen your brothers. Do you notice that Jesus pleaded with God in prayer on Simon's behalf? Man, that's who you want pleading for, right? You want Jesus interceding on your behalf. Did you notice Jesus, the God of the universe, interceded and prayed for Simon, and Simon still had to go through his process? So he still had to go through it. But he prayed that his faith would not fail. That his faith would not fail. Right, so that his faith would remain through everything, through the breaking. Remember, the chaff is broken and then it's ground. That was what was going to happen to Peter. Peter was going to be broken apart and destroyed from the inside out. And yet Jesus said, your faith will remain. You're going to remain and you're going to continue. You're going to continue through. Man, this rain is awesome. Man, okay. We got the dedicated people out here at Enrich Church. Thanks, Jesus, for the overhang. And it said, he says to Peter, when you've repented, You know what this means? Peter, you're going to mess up hardcore. He is saying you're going to fail in what is you're being called to do to follow me. You're actually going to deny me all these times. So he says, when you repent. So repentance is simply this. Imagine if I started running into the rain and I was like, I don't want to run in the direction of the rain anymore. I turned around 180 degrees and I ran back under the overhang. That's repentance. It's you're going in a certain direction and it's not the direction that God wants you to go for your life. And you turn around 180 degrees and you run back under his shelter. So you go from disobedience to Jesus to living in obedience to him. Did you notice the hope and the promise that came out of this? Look in your word here. It says, when you turn back. So he says, Peter, when you turn back to me, strengthen others. So there's a huge purpose behind this that God will take you through these times when Satan will sift your life. But the purpose is that you can go and you can strengthen other people. Because guess who else is going to get sifted? Everybody else. And so if you've been through it, you could strengthen your sisters, you can strengthen your brothers, so that they wouldn't fall away from Jesus. So notice it's super important praying for other people and getting prayer from others. And this right here will determine your life. Without prayer, there's a strong chance you won't make it. And others won't either. So without getting prayer from other people and without you praying for other people, it's a high chance that they actually won't make it. Because when you think about this, who didn't make it? You knew the context of this. Judas didn't make it, right? Because in this, Satan has to sift everyone. He said, I'm going to sift all of your people. So some didn't make it and some did. So you are called to pray and take up the ministry of intercession. You are called to pray and take up the ministry of intercession. What this means is getting on your knees before Jesus and praying for your spouse, praying for your kids, praying for your fiance, praying for your loved one, praying for your kids. Because if you don't cover them in prayer, guess who's going to come in and try and take them out? But if you pray, guess who's going to stand and remain? The people you're praying for. So your time of prayer, praying for others, is super important. That's why Meredith and I, every week, we are covering you guys in prayer by name. Everybody here is on our list. We're praying for you because we know that this little sprout we have here in Rich Church isn't just one church plant, but we really believe that Jesus wants to plant 1,000 churches through Enriched Church. So we're not just fighting for one church plant. We're fighting for hundreds of thousands of people that Jesus wants to impact through your guys' lives. So we know how much is at stake. And so we take some of our funnest night of the week on Saturday night. We take an hour and a half when we could be watching Netflix or going to the movie theater like we're talking about. We worship the Lord for a half hour. And then we get on our knees and we're praying for an hour straight for everyone. Because we know that Jesus wants to grab hold of your guys' lives and he wants to ignite you with his fire and his spirit and use you to impact the people in the world around you. So you are called to pray and take up the ministry of intercession. Now look at verse 33 here. It says, Peter said, Lord, I am ready to go to prison with you and even die for you. Did you notice Peter's response there? It's like what Jesus said didn't register with him. It's like with one ear and went out the other. And did you notice that his response revealed the source of his strength? It was himself. Peter's response showed, Jesus, I can do this. I'm willing. I'll go to prison with you. I will die with you. I will do this, Jesus. I will have strength to follow you. I will do it all. You know, a posture of humility would have been like, hey, Jesus, I got a question. Or, hey, Jesus, can you show me how I'm going to get through this? Like, it would have been a posture of humility, right? Is asking Jesus for help. But his answer was from self-sufficiency, which at the core is pride. So if we have self-sufficiency, we think we could do it on our own. That's pride. And look where it gets Peter. His self-sufficient answer gets him a self-sufficient response, which actually leads to his downfall. I wonder if Peter would have had a different response and said, Jesus, got on his knees. Like everybody who came to Jesus for healing, like a lot of them dropped to their knees when they got healed or when they're pleading for it. And they got a response from Jesus of mercy and grace. But Peter was probably standing. Jesus, I can do this. Jesus, I have strength. I will follow you. Now 34, this is where Sriracha comes in, okay? All right, but Jesus said, Peter, let me tell you something. Before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, You will deny me 3 times that you even know me. Dang. That first part there. Let me tell you something. Now, when someone says, let me tell you something, you know they're about ready to hand you something, right? Hand yourself to yourself. And he's like, get ready, because I'm going to tell you exactly what's going to happen. You're going to deny me 3 times before the rooster crows. What do you think Peter's face looked like at that point? He's like, I'm so strong, I'm going to do this. Can you imagine his face just drops and just goes pale? He's probably like, oh. Because he can think back, everything else that Jesus said has come true. It's probably going to happen to me just as he said it would happen. And you notice this, he said Peter's name 3 times. He used actually the name Simon. He didn't even use the name of rock that he'd given him. He reverted back to his old name. And he said it 3 times. And how many times did Peter deny him? And then how many times did Jesus ask Peter, do you love me?
3 times.
So there's this three, this process of completion. You need to go through this process of being made complete. So everybody's going to be sifted. We're all going to be sifted. Like, it, you can't avoid it. Because Jesus is going to say to Satan one day, the door is open to you. The door is open to your life. It's open to your kids. It's open to your grandkids. It's open to your marriage. And are you going to be this Peter who says, I can do this on my own. I'm strong. I'm going to stand through. Or are you going to be someone who says, Jesus, have mercy on me. Like, I'm going to need your help. Help me not to turn away from you. So everybody's sifting is different. I'll tell you this. Satan knows you pretty well. He knows what areas you're most vulnerable in. And you know what he's going to go after? The areas you're most vulnerable. Because you know what Jesus wants to do? He wants to separate the wheat from the chaff. So Satan may come after areas of your life to destroy them. But Jesus actually wants to bring his resurrection power into your life. So you can choose to do this. You can choose to submit to God and be obedient to God. Or you can choose to go your own way and do what you think is best. Like Peter. And that look where that got him, right? But we'll see soon. So remember this. Jesus is in charge. Satan had to ask permission. But prayer and obedience guarantee your success. Y'all want to know how to pass through Satan's sifting? Anybody want to know? I've been through a couple of them and they're hard. They're really hard. The first piece of advice I'll give you, if you want to write it down, is in chapter 22, verse 3. If you want to look there, write it down. Then Satan entered into Judas Iscariot, who is one of the 12 disciples of Jesus. The advice is don't be Judas. Like, legit. Satan literally entered into Judas's heart. It took up residence in him. And you know who Judas was? He's one of the closest disciples of Jesus. He was one of the 12. He was on the inside. He knew Jesus literally face to face. And Satan still entered his heart. Do you want to know why he got in his heart? It's because he had unresolved character issues he refused to resolve. You know what it was for him? It was money. This dude was stealing money the whole time. He was in charge of the purse, you know, the money that they all had. People think Jesus was poor, but if you read the scriptures, Jesus was actually really wealthy. He owned a home. Tons of rich people gave to his ministry, and they were doing a lot of stuff. So they probably had quite a bit of money. And Judas would take it in, and he would put it in his pocket. So Satan's entry point for Judas was money. And you have to be honest with yourself. What is it for you that's your entry point? What is it for you? I'll tell you how Peter passed this test. It was this. It was his heart condition. It was simply his heart condition that allowed him to pass it. Because he had a heart of repentance at the end of this whole thing. He chose to repent, if you continue to read the story. But you know what Judas didn't do? He didn't repent. And it cost him everything. So if you resist God, or you do not repent, your outcome is Judas's outcome. I know this can be like really hard to hear. But this is what the scriptures say, and I want us to be set up as best we can so we don't end up like Judas. Because Judas is part of the inner circle, right? Part of the team. And that dude was no longer the team at the end of the day. And it cost him his life. But if you repent and you humble yourself before God and submit to his sifting process, do you notice whose process this actually is? It doesn't belong to Satan. The sifting process belongs to God. So if you submit to his process, your repentance will produce growth in Jesus, and you'll be able to help others. Because, you know, if you've been through it, you can help other people. And I know, you know, some of your stories, a lot of your stories here, things you share with me, and a lot of you have been through it. And that then gives you the ability to minister to people more effectively with God's love and God's heart for them. Another piece of advice I can give you to pass through the sifting process is recruit prayer from others. When you're going through it, text someone. Like you might, a lot of you got my number. Like, text me. Text Meredith. We will pray for you. We'll get on our knees. We'll pray for you. And then when you're going through it with others too, like, text your friends. Like, pray for me today. I'm having a rough day. You know what happens when prayer is activated on your behalf? God begins to release the answers to those prayers into your life. What happens if you're not receiving prayer? You're not getting that flow of God's grace into your life, and Satan has greater access. But when you're getting a prayer shield going up in your life, Satan is hitting up against this shield, and he can't get through because people are defending you in prayer. And this is why it's so important for you to pray for others too, because your prayers make a huge difference. When you pray for other people, you're putting a shield up in your in their life where Satan loses access. The other thing is, be honest. I mean, all of us have done stuff or we're going through stuff. And just be honest with people you feel like you can be honest with, and just share it. Because once you put the stuff that's in the heart, your heart that you're trying to hide, and you put it in the light with God and with people, Satan loses so much of his grip on your life when you bring stuff out of darkness into light, and it sets you free. So we're all going to go through this sifting process at some points. But remember, Jesus has great purpose for you to be sifted, because he wants you to become more committed and obedient to him, and knowing his deep love for you, and that you're going to make it through. Like, he's going to guide you every step of the way. He wants to show you the way. And what you got to do is just look at him. Turn your eyes to him and say, Jesus, what do you want me to do? If you say, Jesus, I can do it on my own, man, remember that got Peter. Or if you continue in that sin or whatever it is that is going to keep you from Jesus, you're going to end up like Judas. So the scripture is super clear here that God wants you to be transformed into the likeness of Jesus and have a closer relationship with him. So when sifting hits your life and you feel like you're being beat on the ground as wheat, or you're being ground up, I suppose you probably are. I mean, you really are. But remember, this scripture shows you the way to pass the test. Humility, get prayer, pray, get help from other people. And so I want us to take a moment to be honest with ourselves and to ask yourself this question, and really to ask the Holy Spirit this question. Holy Spirit, where is Judas in my heart? Because we all have a Judas in our heart somewhere. I'll tell you this with me. So a couple weeks ago, I was just sitting at the dining room table at our place. And sometimes I have these thoughts that I have to take captive. And I'm like, I just want to go work a normal job again. Like, I want to go back into higher ed. I just be easier. Like, I work more and harder than I ever had in my life trying to get this thing started. And I was thinking, anyone seen The Matrix before? A couple of people, okay. You remember the first one? I don't remember his name, but he's like the antagonist who like wants to go back in the Matrix. So he's going to like betray everyone with the code and with the people and everything. Anyone remember this? Okay, basically he's going to betray everyone to get back in the Matrix. And I was like, I want to go back into higher ed. And I was thinking about this as an analogy. And Jesus spoke my heart so clearly. He said, if you go back in, you betray me. And I was like, and I was like, he was serious. And I was like, I can't think that way anymore. I was like, there's no turning back. I got to cut the ropes to the boat and be all in. And that was the Judas in my heart, because I was thinking about, oh, it'd be easier if I took this route rather than going God's way. So let's take a few minutes in this beautiful rain, and we're listening to the Holy Spirit, and just say, Holy Spirit, what's the Judas in my heart? What would keep me from following Jesus for my whole life? What would really knock me off this path of following Jesus? What is it, Holy Spirit? Show me. And know this, he loves you so much. Jesus is so kind and so gentle. And if you give him the Judas that's in your heart, you'll become a Peter. You know what Peter did? He made it all the way through to the end. They crucified him, but he made it to Jesus' destiny, and he did it. So ask the Holy Spirit now. Take a few moments. Holy Spirit, what's the Judas in my heart? What do you want to remove from my heart that would cause me to fall off from following you? And what do you want to put in my heart so that I can follow you my whole life? So let's take a few minutes. So if you've been thinking about how does this bottle of sriracha tie into the message, your life is going to get spicy at some point. And if you can't see this up close, there's a rooster on this bottle. The rooster is going to crow in your life at some point, right? It's going to crow. And who do you want to be when that crows? Do you want to be Judas or do you want to be Peter? Peter repented and he came back to Jesus. Judas didn't. So as long as you keep humbling yourself before Jesus, confess your sins and just get right with him, and you keep in community with people, like getting plugged into your local church here at Enrich, and go get into discipleship, which we talked about last week, you know, where we meet in small groups or like one-on-one, and we go deep in the Word and deep in life together. We do life on life together. That's how you're going to be Peter when you get through, as you do it together. So I'll encourage you to do this. Write down something that you're going to do in response this week, like a goal. How do you actually want to apply this to your life? You can put it in your phone or write it down, or if you got like one of those genius memories, you remember everything, do that right on your chalkboard in your brain. What will you do in response to this? How are you going to live it out? How are you going to be obedient to the scriptures today? I have a word of encouragement in my heart, probably for maybe a couple people here. I have a sense that some of y'all have been praying for someone for a long time. You're praying for certain people in your lives and you're not seeing any change. Luke 18:1 says, pray and don't give up. And Jesus told a parable about it. Man, there's so many times I'll pray for months, like 3-6 months, and I won't see any change. But then all of a sudden, there's this immediately or suddenly that happens. Like yesterday, I was at this house and I was just hanging out, and someone just walked up to me and asked me for prayer. And we prayed with this person, and God healed their body, and God did some deep emotional healing in their heart. I just showed up. I wasn't really doing anything else. I think in the same way, as you keep praying, one day God's just going to show up. And he's going to shift that person's life. He's going to shift your life. So I just want to encourage you to just don't give up and to keep moving forward and praying for those people that you're praying for. So if you're here this morning and you're hearing about Jesus, and he's a pretty spicy guy, right? He can get in your face, listen to me, I'll tell you what's going to happen. And he's also kind and gentle, compassionate and merciful. And that's who we see at the cross, because we've all messed up. We've all sinned against God. We've all done wrong against God. And that even just that one wrong against God, that one sin, separates us from a relationship with God and actually separates us for eternity, where we will be separated, what the Bible calls hell. And we don't want anyone to go there. In Jesus, he took the highest price. So he lived a life fully human like us and fully God, and he never sinned. He never did wrong. But a lot of people did that to him, but he never did it himself. So when he went on that cross willingly to die for your sins, the sins of anybody in the whole world, past, present, future, who believes in him, ask to be forgiven of their sins and believe that he rose from the dead, conquering death, so you can have eternal life. It's a free gift. You don't have to do anything to earn it, and we can't earn it. We can't literally do enough anything to earn his salvation, what he's done. It's so simple. All you have to do is believe what Jesus has done on the cross, what he's done by conquering death, and receive it for yourself in your heart, and you have that relationship with Jesus. He becomes your Savior. He saves you from your sins. He becomes your Lord. It means he rules over your life. It means you've got to stop going your own way and go to Jesus' way and be obedient to him. And he becomes your best friend. And he's the person you want in your corner for your whole life. So if you want to start that relationship with Jesus today for the first time, we just invite you to raise your hand if you want to do that. And we'll help you start that relationship today. And if like, I didn't want to raise my hand, but I definitely want to talk more, find any of us with a green name badge after. We'd love to talk with you and help you start that relationship with Jesus. So as we close our time, I'm going to wrap us up in prayer. And then if you're like, man, there was some stuff coming up in my heart, find someone to pray for you if you want prayer. If you just want to get stuff off your chest, find someone. We'll have a few people over here under the tree with our Get Prayer Here sign, or kind of at the corner where it's not raining so much. Please get prayer, because that was one of the things, right? It was get prayer. Get intercession on behalf of others, because that will bring God's breakthrough in your life. Please don't leave and get prayer if you really want or need prayer. But let me pray for everyone here as we wrap up our time today. Man, Jesus, you're pretty straightforward with Peter. And I think at times you're straightforward with us, saying, you know, Satan has asked to sift you, and I've granted him permission, but I have prayed for you, so you're going to make it through. And Jesus, thank you that It's Hebrews that says, you're the one who's giving intercession on our behalf all the time, even now. And that in our community here, in our church, we're praying for each other, we're praying for our families, and we know that our prayers are making a huge difference. So Jesus, I pray for each person here that when you allow the door of Satan, the door for Satan to come into their life to sift, I pray, Jesus, that they would find themselves coming to you, asking for mercy, remaining on their knees, and remaining before you until it's done. And even though it's so hard, whether you're in it right now or you will go through it, that you'd remember the word, the scripture here today, and you'd go back to it, and that you'd be one who remains, that you'd repent and you would turn back to Jesus, and that you would strengthen other people. So I declare blessing over you of remaining in Jesus, that your roots would grow deeper in him, hungering and thirsting for more of his presence, his word, worshiping him in spirit and truth, and following him, being a committed and obedient follower of Jesus, being his disciple. So Father, I ask in the name of Jesus that anybody that's going through a sifting right now, that you would give them the grace and the ability to make it through. You would encourage their hearts, surround them with people who speak life, who pray with them, and also speak truth, Jesus, because you said it. Peter, let me tell you something. And so send those people who would say, let me tell you something. And so that truth will collide with their life and they'll be able to receive that truth with humility and walk it out in community with others. And Jesus, for those who aren't going through it, would you stir in their heart a grace by your Spirit to take up the ministry of intercession and beginning to set aside time daily or weekly to start praying for other people, because they know when they pray, intercede on behalf of others, it is making a huge difference. And we might not see it immediately, but if we do not give up and we pray through until there's a breakthrough, we'll see heaven collide with earth, and God, your kingdom and your will be done. And Jesus, for those that will go through sifting, because we all will go through it, God, give us that same grace that we prayed for those who are going through it. And when that rooster crows, would you have separated the wheat from the chaff in our own lives? And would you burn away the chaff? And would those wheat kernels be planted in the ground of our lives? And would they produce much fruit for your kingdom and your glory, of many coming to salvation, many being discipled, and us living out the fullness of the call you have on our lives, the destiny you have for us? We declare an activation of that in Jesus' name. Amen.